Hello, and welcome to At the Movies with Mike and Marie, a show where two film professors talk about movies. I'm Marie Westhaver.
And I'm Mike Giuliano.
And today we're going to talk about actor Christian Bale, who has one of the best origin stories ever, Mike. You know, we talk all the time about, you know, some people have lives or families where it's just obvious they're going to end up in show business. So Christian Bale's father was a former commercial pilot, an activist, an adventurer, and his mother was a circus dancer. And so he never lived in one place for very long while growing up. His dad eventually married feminist icon Gloria Steinem in 2000. His grandfather was a stand-up comic and children's entertainer and doubled for John Wayne in two movies in Africa. So, I mean, with that kind of family, it's just, you know, it's inevitable you're going to end up in show business. And in fact, he did start off as a child actor, and his first acting role was a commercial for the fabric softener Lenore in 1982. And then he had a first on-screen role in 83 at age 9 in a British commercial for Pac-Man cereal. So, you know, that's where you start off. He then went on to do some stage work, but what really put him on the map was the fact that he caught Steven Spielberg's eye and was cast in Empire of the Sun. Now, this, of course, is a huge blockbuster movie. It's got Steven Spielberg directing it. He's only 13 years old. And he said that the experience was terrible. He hated all of the attention that he got. He was hounded by people wherever he went. Girls threw themselves at him. Boys wanted to fight him. And he told his parents, you know, it's not worth it. I don't want to do it anymore. So he, you know, considered dropping out of acting right then and there. Started to adjust to fame in the 90s before coming to a star turn in American Psycho. But before we get too far along, Mike, what do you want to say about the early days, specifically about The Empire of the Sun?
Well, his career really begins with Empire of the Sun. I mean, I wasn't around watching British TV commercials, you know, or earlier stuff. No, I'm jesting about this, but like, how would people know him, right? They know him through Empire of the Sun. And so let me share a personal anecdote in terms of that particular film. Empire of the Film, as Marie points out, is directed by Steven Spielberg, comes out in 1987. You know, Christian Bale is a 13-year-old kid when he appears in it. So even though he's from a showbiz family, now he's really in show business, not just TV commercials and stuff like that. But, you know, as a child actor, he's getting work. But now this is a big time Hollywood production. The personal anecdote, though, is I was at a crowded reception once for Steven Spielberg, and I knew I'd have a chance to talk with him. And I also knew that I'd probably just have a minute or two. It's one of those things where you know, you got like one question or one comment. That's it. So talk about being on the spot. Like, what am I going to say to him? And I was listening to other people saying the obvious things. They're talking about Jaws and Close Encounters and, you know, and which is, you know, they should. And I think I want to say something that's not just repeating what they're saying. So when I had my minute with Steven Spielberg, I said, Mr. Spielberg, you know, I think your most underrated film is Empire of the Sun. And I talked about it a little bit with him, and he seemed appreciative because nobody else had mentioned it. And it underscored my point. I was overhearing all these conversations. Not anyone mentioned this. It's on a technical level, it's a masterpiece. It's even by Spielberg standards, it's beautifully directed. And it's also a powerful story about the Japanese invasion of China, what it means for Brits and others living there. Just, you know, a horrible kind of story in some ways, but told in such a sweeping, glorious way. And Spielberg seemed appreciative that, you know, somebody had remembered or mentioned that film. But the reason I remember it for our present purposes on this program today is that, you know, I didn't know Christian Bale at all. Why would I? He's a 13-year-old kid who's on TV commercials and some other stuff back home, right? But it's such a good juvenile performance. You know, it's just, it's not anything grandstanding or showy that way. He's just totally into this character. However bewildered and bothered he was otherwise, and I don't know how sympathetic I can be here. Girls are throwing themselves at him at 13. How many of us would have, you know, what we'd give for that same experience, right? Anyway, but he's always had a kind of ambivalent, verging on hostile attitude towards media culture, as I'll call it. In other words, the trappings of celebrity, right? And he can be a kind of high-strung, short-tempered person, I would say. We'll talk some more about this later. But the fact that, you know, he doesn't like a lot of that showbiz aura, a lot of those trappings. So already from the age of 13, it's kind of bothering him that he's got fans and he's got hangers-on and he's got agents and this and that. And I think, you know, as a serious actor, he's got maybe, let's say, mixed feelings about that. But to double back on Marie's point here, this really, you know, Empire of the Sun really is the film that launches him, because I remember, you know, watching it when it first came out and writing about it and thinking it's an underrated Steven Spielberg, because it didn't do particularly well at the box office. It's a big budget, but it just kind of came and went. It wasn't like one of his all-time big hits. And honestly, in the decades since then, Marie and I are probably the first two people to talk about it. It's like dusting it off. People don't, when they talk about Spielberg's greatest hits, rarely do you hear it mentioned. I know I'm repeating that point, but it just strikes me as so unfair to him. So that was the one thing I wanted to say to him, and he seemed to appreciate that I was, you know, remembering it that way. But for our purposes in this episode, let's now look on this as a launching pad for Christian Bale, because believe me, casting agents and directors and others, they, you know, appreciated the film for the values that I've identified, and they knew that, hey, here's a young actor to watch. So let's talk some more about that early career.
You know, the interesting thing about child stars is that even though I think he does a great job in Empire of the Sun, he does talk about how he regrets not getting a formal education at drama school, that given that, you know, he is a serious actor, he does take it seriously. He did decide he did want to continue. He did express having regrets about not doing the formal training. And that's the problem when you get into it too young. You know, you don't have time to figure out that that's what you want to study and then study it and then get into it. Starting that young means you're sort of thrown into it, and then you have this desire to keep it going. And what happens to a lot of people is that they never get past the way they are typified as a child actor. So I think it says a lot about his abilities that when he takes on a role in American Psycho in 2000, that he manages to, you know, no one ever thinks about him as a child actor after that role. I think that is the breakthrough role, where he plays, you know, a murderous Wall Street executive who's obsessed with all aspects of his physicality, which is also sort of interesting given how famous Bale has been, getting bigger and smaller for various roles to come. But that movie was, I think, groundbreaking in a lot of ways, because it was such an unusual kind of role anyway, and not one people thought would be successful for anybody taking it, as in, don't take that role because it's going to ruin your career.
Well, let me actually talk a little bit about some of the ground that lead up to the groundbreaking role there, because he actually does have a career as a teen and young adult actor that we should mention a bit. In 1989, so a couple of years after the Spielberg film, he appears in Kenneth Branagh's Henry V. Ironically, coincidentally, we just done a recent episode with Emma Thompson. So you know, they actually share the screen, if you will. But he does some of that, but he does a little bit of everything. And what I want to mention in particular is, even though we think of Christian Bale as this really like hyper serious actor taking really risky American Psycho type roles and all, and that's all true, that's how he's best known. In that early period of his career, and sometimes later, but in that early period, in the early 90s, he appears in two musicals. He's in Newsies and he's in Swing Kids. Not great films, but kind of, you know, lighter material and musical numbers and this and that, and does a variety of films at this time: Little Women, Portrait of a Lady, Metroland, Velvet Goldmine, the Todd Haynes film. When we talk about versatile actors, if you look at those early credits, it's kind of hard to say he's any one thing here. You look at those early credits and you realize, well, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's making a name for himself. And he even does Midsummer Night's Dream, so, you know, he's doing more Shakespeare. But to Marie's point, and I'll bring it right up to what you were just talking about, the genuine breakthrough role. And in his whole career, it's on that short list of like the two or three films he's been in that he's going to be remembered for. American Psycho was the Bret Easton Ellis novel, very controversial. You know, it's about a serial killer. It's really cold, disturbing stuff. And you're right, Marie, that a lot of your agents and friends and family say, stay away, don't do that. You know, people will be scared of you. But he takes on a challenge like that. He plays Patrick Bateman, who's the principal character in it. And he's like so convincing that it's frightening. I mean, the material would be frightening anyway. But he's an example of an actor who does whatever he has to do and who really savors, who really enjoys the extremely difficult roles that most people would say, hands off, either you're not going to pull this off or it's such a toll to your health and to your weight and everything else, you know, just steer clear of it. But there are actors actually who enjoy that kind of, they're what I call extreme actors. They actually thrive on the extreme roles. And American Psycho, which came out, what, in 2000, that's an example of a film where he delivers. I got to say, you know, I can appreciate him in that film completely. I'm not exactly looking forward to watching it again. Like, oh, I think tonight I'll watch American Psycho. It's not, I mean, I watch a lot of serious heavy duty stuff, but I think I'd be more comfortable watching an Ingmar Bergman film. That would be lighter maybe in some ways than American Psycho. But Marie, let me hand it back to you at this point, because let's talk about how really, I think our popular conception of Christian Bale really solidifies. It's the breakthrough role, groundbreaking field, but for the rest of his career, I think anytime he has a new role, it's difficult. People will always double back on American Psycho. Here he is with one of the real heavy duty roles. What do you think?
I think you're right about that, because I think there's a lot of aspects of that movie that really resonate with people. Now, I hadn't seen it. I had put off watching it. I watched it this week, you know, to prepare for this show. And mostly that's because I don't know what it is about serial killers, but man, that is a popular topic. So, you know, you log on to Netflix and you say to yourself, well, do I feel like watching the Scandinavian serial killers show or the German serial killer show? So knowing that this was about a serial killer, I had just lumped it in that category of, you know, do I really want to spend the next 2 hours thinking about serial killers? Once you watch it, though, you realize how iconic it is in terms of cultural references and things. And, you know, you can really see how effective it is for a method actor like Christian Bale, who immerses himself in the role. He apparently followed his character's morning routine for a while. And by the way, they had some trouble getting designer labels. He's very obsessed with the way he looks and dresses, everything, all those details. And Cerruti agreed to allow Christian Bale to wear that line, but not when he was killing somebody. So, you know, you got to change clothes, you know, just to do the deed because of, you know, labels and associations. And, you know, all those things are, you know, you sort of absorb them without realizing it. But I don't know, they thought through a lot of those aspects of American Psycho. So you're watching him in a detached way, which makes him just sort of fascinating. And quite frankly, I think there's aspects to that performance that he would use when he does Batman Begins. But before we jump to Batman Begins, we have to mention The Machinist, which came out in 2004, because people will talk about this movie as, you know, the quintessential example of somebody losing weight to play a role. And if you haven't seen The Machinist, it's about an industrial worker who hasn't slept in a year who starts to doubt his own sanity. Now, staying awake for a year, as they mentioned in the film, is physically impossible for a human being. But it's an amazing movie in terms of watching Christian Bale, again, totally commit to a role, totally immerse himself in it. And it's an amazing star turn for him. How did you like that movie, Mike?
Well, I don't know if like or dislike would be relevant here. I appreciated what he did for this role. It's, again, it's an example of a film that I can appreciate, I can respect. Would I want to watch it again? You know, I'd have to brace myself a bit. But again, he plays this machine shop worker. And as Marie describes, you know, it's an extreme actor playing an extreme character, if you will, in order to get into that role. And he's talked a lot, and critics have always talked, like it's like De Niro in Raging Bull or films like that, where an actor, you know, gains a lot of weight or loses a lot of weight. In this case, he lost a lot of weight. He went on a crash diet of coffee and apples. I guess that did it for me. That's all he consumed. Yeah, this is like, even by like method acting standards, like really getting into character, right? And in that film, you know, he's so effective there because he really becomes that character. He's as skinny as the character's meant to be. I've got to point out quickly, that film did not do well commercially, but that's in some ways almost irrelevant for what we're talking about, because we're talking about him as an actor, and people within the profession, within the trade, if you will, within the business, fully acknowledged and appreciated what he went through to play that role. In terms of the public, it's a matter of speculation as to why the film didn't go over particularly well. But you can imagine, I can fill in the blank there, you know, like, you know, you look at the marquee, what are we going to see tonight? You know, it might not be too high on your list when you learn a little bit about it that way. But as a segue between The Machinist and Batman Begins, which he does the next year, Machinist is 2004 and then Batman Begins 2005. So really just months apart. Even by extreme acting standards, this is extreme. He loses all that weight to do The Machinist, this guy who's starving himself. And then right on the heels of that, he gets this offer to be Batman, right? And so he has to bulk up. And he's talked about the challenge. He said, when you're that skinny, he said, it's difficult not only to put on weight all at once, but muscle. So he worked with a trainer and he's able to put on that. Because, you know, you don't want an emaciated Batman. I mean, you can have a revisionist Batman in all sorts of ways, but emaciation was not on the bill of fare, if you will. And so within a year's time, he lost all that weight and he gained it back and so on. Now, Batman Begins, you know, begins his affiliation with that character. As we've been saying in terms of Christian Bale, he has those darker qualities in terms of characters he's played. And not that Batman is anywhere near Patrick Bateman in American Psycho, but he can bring a darker, somewhat relatively darker quality, let's put it that way, to the Batman role. And, you know, by way of box office and income and just public recognition, it really lands him, you know, in the celebrity lane, if you will. And as we said at the outset of today's show, Christian Bale's not always all that comfortable with being a celebrity that way. And yet now he certainly is, whether he wants to be or not. And you know, I can't feel too sorry for him because, hey, you know, worse fates than being a celebrity. But also the fact that he agreed to be Batman. What did you expect, right? I mean, this is a high profile, big budget thing. The one thing I'll say before handing it back to you is actually Christian Bale saying something in terms of one reason he didn't like playing Batman particularly was on a very technical day-to-day level of having to put on the outfit. Like, you know, it's as if it weren't bad enough having to like lose weight for one role and now gain weight to be Batman. Okay, he's bulked up, he's got some muscle, but now he's got to put this outfit on top of it. And that can take hours. So here's a quick quote from Christian Bale about the Batman costume. You stick it on, you get hot, you sweat, and you get a headache in the mask. But I'm not going to complain because I get to play Batman. So he realizes that, you know, it's worth all those hours in the chair, as actors like to say. I mean, think about, you know, for some actors, it's the prosthetics you need, whatever. Other actors, frankly, it's just that costume. You spend more hours getting in and out of it than you probably spend on the set itself. But Maria, let me hand it back to you now to get your sense of him, because he's certainly not the first person to play Batman, but how you see him within that sort of hierarchy or lineage or however you want to put it.
Well, I'm glad you gave me that line to follow up on, because I live in a divided household when it comes to Batman depictions. My husband thinks that Michael Keaton is the only Batman worth his salt. I think Christian Bale is the best Batman. And it's partly because of the way he plays this role. And he portrays Bruce Wayne as a jerk. And he says, that's his cover. Which interesting way of looking at it. And when he started the film, like you said, he couldn't even do one push-up. So, you know, it completely changed his body and physique for this role. He was hesitant to do the role of Batman, and this is him talking. I mean, after all, Batman is an icon. But I remember as clear as day being at the grocery store the day the movie opened and this little boy saw me. He couldn't have been more than 5 years old. He just walked right up to me and hugged me, and I was so moved that I hugged him back. Then he looked up at me and said, you're my hero. And in that moment, I knew that not only as an actor that I had done my job, but that I had made the right decision to play Batman, and I've never looked back on my decision to play Batman since. And it probably doesn't hurt that he probably made a bazillion dollars playing Batman. But that leads me to 2006, the year after Batman Begins. One of my all-time favorite movies of any kind, but with Christian Bale in it, which is The Prestige, which is, you know, a movie about two magicians, turn of the century, who are, you know, trying hard to be the best at what they do. And it is filled with wonderful performances by Christian Bale, by Hugh Jackman, by Michael Caine, Scarlett Johansson, and you even get David Bowie as Tesla. I mean, what is not to like? And I absolutely love that movie. It's another collaboration with Christian Bale and Christopher Nolan. And I think it's just one of my favorite films of his. I don't know how much you want to talk about that movie, Mike, or anything else before we jump ahead to Vice, which I really want to talk about. Yeah, but that's 2018. So you might have lots to say about this period of time between 2006 and 2018.
Yeah, I also very much want to talk about Vice, but in the years between, again, when you look at the range of films he's done, you can't just put him in a nicely defined, neatly defined box. Right after doing The Prestige, the same year, actually, he does Rescue Dawn. For, you know, here's an extreme actor working with an extreme director, Werner Herzog. And in that film, it's based on a real story. He plays a Vietnam veteran and you know, this guy's excruciating adventures in the jungle, if you will. And again, it's not a great film, but it's a good matchup of actor and director because, you know, as you know, Herzog loves to go on location and subject himself to whatever environmental danger happens to be there. And Christian Bale's right there with him on that. But then, you know, on the heels of that, he does a remake of a Western, 310 to Yuma, and he's co-starring with Russell Crowe in that, and he's quite good. I mean, it's, you know, I'm generally not in favor of remakes, but that was a remake that I thought worked really well on its own terms. But then right after that, we're going like 2006, 2007, he's in I'm Not There, another Todd Haynes film. And that's a film in which all the actors play variations on Bob Dylan. So how do you go from like, you know, a Vietnam film with Werner Herzog to an old fashioned, more or less, or somewhat revisionist Western, to a Bob Dylan, you know, fantasy, if you will. Then he's back with The Dark Knight, again, periodically putting on the Batman outfit. Films after that, like Public Enemies, Terminator Salvation. The one I'll linger on for a moment here is The Fighter from 2010. He wins an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. It's another one where, you know, again, because of the nature of the role, you know, there's tough physical action. That's when I said extreme actor, I talk about weight gain, weight loss and so on. But think about the physicality of, you know, whether it's in the Herzog film where you know, you're running away from the enemy and you're going through the jungles and this and that, or The Fighter where, you know, in terms of people pounding each other that way, there's a lot of real physical energy in that. And right on the heels of that, a few years after that, American Hustle is another film that should be mentioned quickly. He gets an Academy Award nomination for that, playing a con man. So he's really good at playing darker characters. And so in many cases, someone who's a con man or someone with a, you know, dark history or this or that, or even, you know, again, as Batman, bringing out darker elements or strands of the character. But then right on the heels of that, he does a film for Ridley Scott, Scott's Exodus, Gods and Kings film. And in that, he plays Moses. So Moses supposes, I mean, you know, of all the things that he's played or could play, I would not have had him on the short list of people to play Moses, but there he is. And Marie, let me hand back to you at this point, because I know you want to talk about vice, and so do I, but I'll let you go first on it.
If you go back and watch The Fighter, by the way, the black aviator sunglasses that he's wearing, and he wore them also in The Dark Knight Rises, are his own. So, you know, you don't always need that label to come in and give you free stuff. Thanks for mentioning American Hustle. And I also wanted to briefly mention Hostiles from 2017, because I really think he is fantastic in this movie. He plays, it's 1892, and he plays an army captain reluctantly escorting a Cheyenne chief and his family through dangerous territory. He is fantastic in this. So is Rosamund Pike. That they both, it's an updated sort of Western story, but told really well. And he puts his own stamp on the character. It's just, I think, a real star turn for him. But moving on to Vice, because, you know, he was nominated for this role. And of course, again, with the commitment to the role, gained 45 pounds, shaved his head, bleached his eyebrows, exercised to thicken his neck. And he said he managed to do this by eating a lot of pies. But he also studied Dick Cheney by viewing every single one of his interventions and interviews, which must have just been an incredible amount of time studying and copying his movements, because it's really an amazing performance. When you're watching it, you would swear that that was Dick Cheney. And by the way, I wanted to mention, because I think this is worth knowing about him, that he has a fluent American accent. And if he plays an American character, he will use an American accent in all the interviews for the film, because the audience won't be confused that way. What a way to be that versatile and get all that in there.
He's had a really good run in recent years. And one film that we should mention that he made just a bit prior to Vice was The Big Short in 2015. He plays a hedge fund manager in that, and he wins the Academy Award for Supporting Actor there, you know, and so that's a film that definitely should be mentioned. And then, okay, right on the heels of that, he's appearing as Vice President Dick Cheney, you know, in Vice. For me, even though Christian Bale's played all kinds of characters along that whole spectrum of morality, if you will, as much as anything, I had never expected to see him play a role like Dick Cheney and do it so well. I mean, here I was, I'd just been surprised by him playing Moses, right? And he goes from Moses years later to Dick Cheney. It's really, you know, this is really risky material. I don't just mean politically in terms of how you feel about these politicians. I mean, for an actor, because you're playing a well-known public figure. Now, do you do it as in a sort of Saturday Night Live, you know, caricatured, satirical way? Do you try to totally, you know, invest yourself in it and become that person? Let's cut through all that and just simply acknowledge what Marie said, you know, quite well, quite plainly, namely that when you're watching Vice, you really feel like you're watching Dick Cheney. You have to remind yourself that, you know, that this is an actor playing him. And again, that kind of extreme, is it impersonation even? You know, it's in that kind of weird area where he's just somehow melded with or become that person. So he is, you know, receiving an Academy Award nomination for Best Actor there, as he well deserved. And I think of his more recent films, and by recent here, I'll say, you know, like the past decade, it's the one that even by Christian Bale standards kind of surprised me, just in that sense, okay, he's done this and this and this, but, you know, Dick Cheney, and yet he makes it work. I mean, so let me give it back to you at this point, because at this point, I'm just babbling with how much I like him in that role.
He really is very, very believable in the role, which it's astonishing. If you haven't seen it, you have to, even whatever you think of politics, you just have to see this movie for this depiction. He just becomes Dick Cheney. So we are coming, you know, close to the end of our show, but I do want to mention Ford versus Ferrari from 2019. And of course, preparation for his role, Christian Bale took race driving lessons because he, you know, has to embody every role and be the character. The instructor for, and this film's stunt coordinator said about Christian Bale that he's hands down the best actor I've ever trained. I don't know if that means a lot of people who try to take driving lessons aren't good actors, or I don't know what the connection is there, but he's, you know, apparently once he commits to something, he embraces all aspects of what it takes to do that role and, you know, commits all the way. So it doesn't surprise me that he does well in everything he tries to do. He had to gain the weight back or lose the weight that he, I'm sorry, he had to lose the weight that he had gained for Vice. He had to lose 70 pounds to play this role in 2019. And, you know, you just have to hand it to him that he is so able to make those physical changes so easily. I don't think most people are capable of doing that, even if they wanted to. So the last thought that I wanted to leave our listeners with is him talking about doing other kinds of work, like stage work, because most actors at least try to do some stage work because there's so much prestige involved with it. And he says, you know, I did other things, but my heart was never in it. A lot of actors say that the theater's the thing for them, and that's great. And I'm not one to speak with any authority about it because of not having done it properly. For me, movies are what I love. And I think that shows up in all of his performances. And that brings us to the end of our show this week. Don't forget to check out our other episodes at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com. And we will see you at the movies.
See you then.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.